Well, I want to start with just by saying thank you for last Sunday, all our volunteers, and for attending. And we had a wonderful service, and just incredible experience, incredible Sunday. We're going to pick up today where we left off last Sunday, and that's in Matthew 28, verse 6. He is not here, he has risen. Okay? He has risen. So what now? We're kind of left with what the disciples were faced with. What now? That question, what are we going to do? What now? How do we begin to live a life of purpose, a life that matters? I want to encourage note-taking today. Note-taking is a great example of listening. And then also, it allows you later on in life, whether that be in a couple months or later on today, to be able to sit down and study. Or maybe you're going through a hard time and you're like, hey, we talked about this. Boom, there's your notes. You're ready to go. we're going to be talking about this whole steps to success, a ladder to success, all right? We've got three steps. Two are beliefs. One is more of an action or a calling. And we're gonna dive right in. So our first one is today, okay? Today matters. Today matters. What you do with today will affect the rest of your life. Today is the first step into tomorrow. So if you struggle with, maybe it's lust, maybe it's finances, planning, maybe you struggle with an eating disorder, that's because yesterday affects our today. Okay, you've got to understand that. Yesterday affects today more than we realize. John Maxwell, the author of Today Matters, writes this. Today is the only time you have. It's too late for yesterday, and you can't depend on tomorrow. That is why today matters. Okay, so today matters. A lot of us love to over-exaggerate yesterday. We have someone on staff that loves to over-exaggerate yesterday. He's not here, so I can talk about him. I love it. See, some of us never get over our past accomplishments. We love to live in high school. A lot of us in here love to live in high school and college, or you know, oh man, I was the star athlete back in high school, or maybe I was the homecoming or prom queen in high school. Others of us, or maybe it's more recent. Maybe it's like, man, I got employee of the year, and then I come to find out it was about 5 years ago. And the past 5 years, you've been in a slump because you've been so focused on your one good year. That's how we are. We love to focus on the goals and the accomplishments that we've achieved instead of living for today. We do the same thing in our lives. We do the same thing in our church. We love to work for one day, study one day, love one day, and then rest for six. What may be actually even worse than the over-exaggerators are the could-have people, okay? We all know the could-have people, and if you don't know a could-have person, you are probably that person. We love to kind of dream back in the day where, oh man, back in high school, if coach put me in, oh, we could have won state, when in reality, you hadn't played all year. Or maybe, you know, if my boss gave me the promotion, I could have turned this company around. When in reality, you only show up for work occasionally or you're always late. You've got to understand something. So no matter how successful, okay, no matter how successful and no matter the failures, yesterday ended last night. All right? Yesterday ended last night. Your past does not define you, but today does. All right? Today does. See, some of us, we have these failures that have defined us. Our past has defined us for so long that are holding on to us, and we're holding on to that. You've got to let go and beginning to live like today matters. Now, for others of us, which might be actually more difficult to see and to let go of, is we have some successes and some accomplishments. And we've reached our goals. But we've got to let go of those because they do not define us. To be able to live a successful life, first of all, you've got to start in today. You've got to start today. Any great business They make a decision early on, okay? And this is for us Christians as well. For non-believers, you can start today. For old believers, you got to start today as well, okay? Any good business makes a decision once, and then they manage it daily. That's where we get this whole thing called a mission statement. So I studied at Anderson University. I studied business management, and one of the things we did early on in our schooling was learn about mission statements, what it means. Okay, a mission statement basically is a company's dream and goal and future, and their whole purpose falls under this mission statement. Okay, so whatever decision they want to make, they decide through this mission statement. And as I went to school there, we had to develop, you know, businesses and different ideas, and we had to come up with a mission statement. One of the great things, since it's a Christian college, we did was we developed a mission statement for our lives, okay? You personally have to have a mission statement for your life. You've got to make a decision what you want to do with your life, and then you have to manage it daily. So, for example, here's McDonald's mission statement. In 2013, they say that McDonald's brand mission is to be our customer's favorite place and way to eat and drink. And then they hit these five things: people, products, place, price, and promotion. All right? They hit these five things. And every decision they make is based off of these five things. Now, Steve Jobs was the founder of Apple, and his mission statement early on was this: man is the creator of change in the world. As such, he should be above systems and structures and not subordinate to them. Okay? So I don't know if you know much about Apple, but Apple Company started in his garage. And Steve Jobs took to heart this statement that man is the creator of change in this world. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but he would come out stage to introduce a new product, and everybody would be on the edge of their seat, like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Because they knew it was new. It was nothing like anything had come out before. And see, he believed in being the creator of change in this world. Now, after Steve Jobs has passed away, Apple has really grown stagnant. Really grown stagnant, or almost digressing as a company. And I got online and I found this. The official mission statement of Apple corporate website, however, is not really a mission statement at all, but rather, here you go, rather a list of products and past accomplishments. I'm afraid for us who have started out so good, we as a church want to be this creator of change in the world, and we accomplish things, we come up with new ideas, and we reach the lost, and we ourselves grow deeper and deeper in relationship with Christ. But at some point, we have got to be extremely careful that we don't become a list of products and past accomplishments. You have to understand what our mission of the church is and what your mission in your personal life is. You've got to understand that today matters. Let's jump into the next thing. So tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Lord's. We've got to understand that tomorrow is the Lord's, and we're gonna dive into that. Maxwell writes this: hoping for a good future without investing in today is like a farmer waiting for a crop without ever planting a seed. So I just started my own little garden back here behind the parsonage, and somebody should have warned me how difficult it is, man. I was out there till like 9 o'clock one night tilling with a headlamp on. I'm like, oh, goodness. But I have to plant seeds to expect crops. We've got a lot of farmers in here. I've seen a lot of tractors out. They are beginning their work now because they can't just harvest. They've got to plant the seed. A lot of us in the church want the church to grow. We want to develop in our relationship with God, but we can't just do it on a Sunday morning. Or you can't just live your life for yourself. A lot of us are really worried about tomorrow. We're worried about what all is going to happen. Okay, I've got my next week planned. Actually, I've got my next month, my next year planned. And we read this. Jesus is talking about tomorrow in Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. In today's society, that can be so difficult for us. It's just these three words, do not worry. Okay? Do not worry. It's a simple commandment. And I love the teachings of Jesus because they are so simple, but they're so challenging. And actually, they're impossible without Christ. And I think the disciples, they realize, do not worry about tomorrow. They began to live like today matters, and they stopped worrying about tomorrow because they knew that tomorrow has its own worries. Tomorrow has its own worries. They made such a radical change in their lives because they believed that their God had risen, that death could not stop him, and death could not stop themselves. I'm not sure if you knew this, but 11 out of the 12 disciples actually experienced a violent death. Okay, they knew tomorrow wasn't guaranteed. We live in a world, in a nation that, fortunately for us, we are not persecuted like this. But what if we began living like today matters, and what if we began living like God had risen, God has risen, and that tomorrow is God's? See, a lot of us, we've got the next chapter in our life planned. We've got tomorrow, we've got today. And planning is great, but it has to be flexible, okay? It has to be flexible to be able to do God's work in your life and in others' lives. If you don't have time for people, if you don't have time for your family, if you don't have time for anything else but yourself, then something has got to change. As I wrote these words down, I got very convicted, and I wanted to share some of these questions with you, and I hope you can process them as well. Here you go. Since when did we stop living like Christ has risen? Since when did we become our own God, our own maker of time? Since when did we direct our own path and guided our own lives? Since when did we start living for ourselves and not for others? Since when did we stop doing for others? Since when did we stop believing as children do? When did we start worrying so much and not just relying on our Father? And when is the last time you stopped to admire God and all he is and all that he's done? Tomorrow is God's. Today matters. But if you're given another day, what are you going to do? What is your purpose? And that leads us to our third point here, your future. Excuse me. Your future. The purpose of your future, okay? What is the purpose of your future? What you do with the next chapter of your life will define everything. See this future part, this future on our way to success, our steps to success, the future is so complicated. See, it actually holds our past. It holds our failures. It holds our accomplishments. It holds everything. It holds our today. Okay, our future holds our today, and that's why today matters, and it holds our tomorrow. But most importantly, our future holds our purpose. Our future holds our purpose. See, I know several people, and I know you guys know of people as well, that go their whole life searching and wondering what their purpose is in life. Well, I don't know what they pour themselves into, whether good or bad, worldly things, whether they know it or not, they're searching for something deep down. They're searching for this deeper calling in life. And today, I know your purpose, okay? Today, I have your purpose, and it's not through my wisdom or through my words, but it's through Scripture. We find your purpose, my purpose, in Matthew 22. It says this. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." We've all read this before. The Message says it like this. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. So here is your purpose. You cannot go out these doors today without knowing your purpose in life. That is to love God and to love others. To love God, to love others. It's so simple. It's a beautiful thing. Now don't get me wrong. We've been given all these gifts and abilities and goals and opportunities that we can use for Christ. For example, one of my life goals, my ultimate life goal is after I've died to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." See, But I understand that to hear those words, I've got to live out my purpose in life. To hear those words, to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, it is because I've loved God and loved others well. A great example of this love, my grandpa passed away when my mom was about 16 years old. And my grandma has basically lived on her own since then. We're not very close distance-wise, so we don't get to spend much time with her. And she has absolutely nothing, okay? For example, she heats her entire house during the winter with an oven. Not the safest thing, but that's what she's always done. She is 80 years old, and she's still working 36 hours a week to make ends meet. Not only that, but she is just starting to house a couple kids into her house so that they can actually attend school where they're at. She also drives those kids about 2 hours back and forth each day to spend some time with their family. Another part is she lets people into her house. She lets people into her life that unfortunately and knowingly she knows is happening are taking advantage of her. They're stealing from her. They're stealing her rings and selling them after even helping them out financially in different areas. And I keep wondering, like Grandma, why? Why are you letting people take advantage of you? Why are you letting these things happen? And she knows they're happening. And it is because at some point in her life, she decided, instead of getting lonely, instead of feeling bad for myself for the rest of my life, I'm going to choose my purpose, and that's to love God and to love others. And this type of love, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. See, insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting different results. And my grandma is loving these people in an insane kind of way, and that's exactly what Christ has done and is doing for you. He's choosing to love you over and over and over again, no matter what, no matter what. See, if you're an old Christian, a new Christian, or a non-believer, these three steps, these three things can help lead you to a successful life. It'll lead you up this ladder to success. But see, what I didn't tell you is at the top of this ladder is actually a relationship with Jesus. Okay? A relationship with Jesus is at this end. It's that purpose behind your life. If you want to live a successful life, it is because of Jesus is at the end of this life. It's because Jesus is in your heart. We've got to let go of your past, whether it's a good past or not. We've got to let go. We've got to begin living like today matters and understand that tomorrow is given to us by God and that we don't have to worry about it. And we have to know our purpose in life. Because without our purpose, our future is nothing. Everyone's life around you, that purpose, it drives you to a closer and deeper relationship with Christ. Would you guys pray with me? Dear God, we are searching for you today. God, we understand that today matters. Today is the day that we get to decide if we're going to go all in and all out for you. God, tomorrow is not a given, but we understand that we do not have to worry. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because it is in your hand. You are a risen Savior. And God, would you keep defining our purpose in our life? That every decision that we make, God, every decision that we make, it is based on your purpose, and that is to love God and to love others, Lord. Would you help us as a church to begin to believe that you are risen and that you have called us for this purpose, to love God and to love others, so that this community, that our hearts can change in a different way, in a radical, radical way. In your name we pray. Amen.